Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. May the Lord bless this reading and our understanding this day. Amen. Well, I think last week when Ann was here, she talked about this bread of life scripture. For those of you that were here, I'm sure she did a magnificent job. And when I put this program together a few weeks ago, we're trying to get ahead because Beverly's been out for a few weeks. I was thinking about talking about this bread of life and then doing a comparative analysis with another bread that came from heaven, a physical bread in that particular case, the manna from heaven that God provided to the Israelites in the desert as they wandered. But when I came to put together the message this week, I was drawn instead to these lectionary verses from Ephesians and the Apostle Paul's words to the church at Ephesus. And so I decided to make a few changes. The title of my message is Bearers of Truth. Bearers of Truth. Ephesians chapter 4 begins with a call to the people at Ephesus to live differently. Paul tells them in the early verses to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Ephesians 4, chapter 6. Ephesians 4, verse 6. This beautiful poetic language, it highlights one of the principal points of this chapter, of this book, of this letter of Ephesians, that God has brought together all people through Jesus Christ, Jews and Gentiles alike, and then together we form a new community, one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace. And it is God's unified people which form the church, the body of Christ, the temple where God resides. A few weeks ago, I spoke from Ephesians as well, and I talked about being clothed in Christ, of physically putting on Christ in our lives. Having now shared in a new covenant through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of proclaiming our faith in Christ, we are to put on a new self, a self that strives to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And this becomes the second major point of Paul's letter, to exhort these new believers, these Gentiles, to put aside their old ways, to live a transformed life, a life of character and identity. And this is where our scripture lesson today comes in and picks up. with Paul providing very specific moral instructions of putting away falsehood and speaking the truth to one another. Because when you think about it, we are all members of the same body. We don't want to lie to one another. That doesn't make sense. Of giving up stealing and working honestly. And did you catch the reason? Not out of respect for one another's property, although that's certainly worthwhile. But what the scripture said was, so that you may have something to share with the needy. And here's one we could all be better at. Watch what we say, so that no evil comes out of our mouths, but only what is useful for building up another person as there is need, so that our words give grace to those that hear. And then finally, putting aside all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. So this common theme that runs throughout is that we are to build up one another, to strengthen and support one another in community. This approach to life is quite different from what we see happening today. A few months ago, I shared a few words with the graduating class of 2018 at Penns Valley High School in their baccalaureate. And I told them that God's way and the world's way are not the same. Our society is more about individual success, of getting ahead despite what it may cost, of manipulating others to get what you want, of brazenly proclaiming your identity and being noticed through your words and through your actions. Sometimes what the world tells us sounds pretty good, reasonable. For instance, don't let others take advantage of you. Be strong and independent. Stand up and fight for what you deserve. But when I stop to think about it, it's hard to reconcile that with these words from Paul, or to Jesus saying to the self-righteous Peter, don't forgive 7 times, forgive 70 times 7 times. Some would say that to live as Paul suggests is too idealistic, that it's not possible in today's world. We as individuals are too damaged and broken to ever think that we could successfully live up to all these things. And if you're one of the ones that say this, you're right. If you go out and try to resist temptation, set aside all thoughts of bitterness and wrath and anger, to forgive and to be kind to one another like Jesus, all by yourself, all on your own, you will fail. Because without Christ, it is not possible. Only through Christ are these things possible in the world. And they are only possible in us because of the one baptism which we share, a baptism of repentance and forgiveness. From the moment that we sincerely commit our lives to Jesus Christ, we begin to change. We grow and mature in Christ's likeness. And this transformation of growth and maturity can only take place in community. You see, we need the witness and support and encouragement of one another. We need to be around others that are struggling just like we are and experiencing some of the same difficulties we are. And it's not easy to do that, because what it means is making ourselves vulnerable, placing our trust in God's grace to protect us. It defies that distinctly American quality of going it alone, of relying on no one but ourselves. But the truth of the gospel is that we were never meant to go it alone. We are a people created and intended to live in community. I read this week that the folks that write the Oxford Dictionary declared the year 2016 as the year of post-truth. It was in 2016 when phrases like alternative facts and fake news came into vogue. It's even gotten to the point where you can't really believe what you're watching or see anymore, because even images and videos can be modified, can be digitally changed to support one point of view or another. Truth, it seems, has been superseded by something else. To me, it's frustrating and scary. How are we to know what is truth? As a result, we've taken to believing only what we want to believe. Recent studies have shown that we are becoming an increasingly segmented and polarized people, listening only for the news and information that sustains our already formed opinion, that supports what we already believe to be true and what is not. And it's not just in this country. This is widespread and is going on in many places. And it's perpetrated by a 24/7 news cycle, by social media, by instant access to information, and even nation-state sponsored actors are manipulating this data to affect us. Our incredible access to information is being used to distort what is true and to pit us one against the other. I often wonder how much longer it can go on or how it will end. Where are we to look for hope? Well, perhaps it's time we took a different viewpoint, a different approach. Rather than being dismayed or depressed over the circumstances of our day, maybe we should try to look at them differently. Maybe we should try to look at them as opportunities. The Reverend Cameron Merrill, who is an assistant editor at Pulpit Resources, which is one of the online commentaries I often refer to, said that maybe it's time to see this post-truth era not as something completely evil, but as a gift. That got me scratching my head. And then he said more specifically, a gift to the church. Here's what he said to explain it. He said, let's be honest. It's been a while since we had a chance to be this interesting. And we, in this case, is us, the members of the body of Christ. He says, we're not used to being this interesting. I know, so it can be a bit disorienting. As the rest of the world is wondering how to even speak the truth, we finally have something to say. Here we are today, adrift in the sea of alternative facts, and Paul is reminding us that the fundamental calling of the church is to be a truthful people. And the fundamental way that we name truth is to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Truth is first and foremost Jesus himself, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And truthfulness can be found wherever he is. End quote. To know truth is to know Jesus. And if we are to know him, we'll have to go where Jesus went, do what Jesus did, study his life, the ways he interacted with people, to pray and listen for God's guidance in our own lives. If we're going to know him, we're going to have to spend time with him. And when we do, we're going to find ourselves doing the very same things he did. We're going to find ourselves among the poor and oppressed, the imprisoned, the hungry and the thirsty, the weak and grieving and lonely, even the sick and the dying. We are to be bearers of the truth. And as long as we draw breath, we are to bear the truth to others, and there is not a single excuse that we can come up with that can exempt us from this. Someone mentioned a few weeks ago that it's time to kind of do another t-shirt order that says Trinity UCC on it, because a lot of people don't have them now. And I thought maybe that could be our motto, Truth Bearer for Christ. We could put that on the t-shirts. Just a thought. When we practice the gifts that Jesus gives us, though, gifts like confession and forgiveness, compassion and hospitality, only then can we expect the world might see an alternative to this rhetoric of anger and slander and mistreatment that we so commonly hear. Today marks the anniversary of the demonstrations and violence that occurred last year in Charlottesville, Virginia. I know you remember it. I was sickened by what I saw. Nazi flags being carried openly in the streets, racist slogans being shouted, anger and malice, bitterness and wrath, those very things that Paul calls out in his scripture this morning. But there was some truth. I remember preaching on this last year, and I shared with you how a local church had opened their doors and became a sanctuary in the midst of all that violence for people from any, regardless of where they were in the demonstrations. Even the Nazi flag bearers were invited in, and it was a place where people could be treated for their injuries and protected. My friends, we are to be people of truth. Rather than joining and participating in the anger that we see around us, we can choose instead to be the voice of compassion and forgiveness. Our scripture ended today. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for today, for all that have come today to hear your word, to worship and praise you. Lord, we thank you so much for this lesson from Paul. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us and give us the courage we need to live our lives boldly and to be bearers of truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.